If you would, look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, where we've been. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Because everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride in one's lifestyle, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does God's will remains forever. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater, strict judgment, more than anyone else in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for being here today. Always in a series, I try to recap because some of you are just walking into it. And at times when I've been in your place, I'd like to know a little bit of the background. We've been going through this series together. And if you go back to verse 15, if you will, we've been going through this together. We started off with what the definition of the world is. And remember, the world is not creation. It's not the population of the world. It's John uses it this way here, that it's Satan's system that he has put in place, that the enemy is using. And John is saying, don't love the world or the things in that world, Satan's system. You may read it in other parts of Scripture that says darkness. Darkness would be Satan's system, and it would describe it. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. And what we wanted to get across is there's a love, an agape love that we have for the Father, just like he has an agape love for us. And we want that love to go to the Father. But if we're not careful, that love will go to the world. And he says, don't love the world in that fashion. Look at 1 John 5:19. This is the enemy system. We're talking about the world meaning creation, the world meaning population. We're talking about Satan's system. We know that we are of God and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. John writes that. Even in this same epistle, he does that. Go back to verse 15, if you will. The second thing we handled was lust. Just defining a lust, go to verse 16, if you will. What does that mean? It's just a rebellious craving that has been given to us. And then you will argue, and you should raise this question, hasn't God given us desires? He has. But I go back to a definition of a man named Darrell Robinson. He said, sin is God-given desires used in a God-forbidden way. And the enemy tries to get everything that the Father has given you in desire and then to use it in a way that goes against the Father. We also learn here about not only lust, but flesh. The flesh and the spirit are always battling. The flesh and the spirit will battle within you today. It'll happen today. If you live tomorrow, it'll happen tomorrow. There's always a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the remedy, obviously, is a life in the spirit, learning how to do that. Just for example, when I told you about Jake's baptism, I'm standing here, I'm going, Jake's having a difficult time. And we let it play out. And I told you we did it on purpose. And because of how excited he was, how much practice they had put into that. And then I felt the Holy Spirit go, just tell him to go forward. Now listen, I don't know that the Lord's up here with the clipboard going, Lincoln went backward, Jake went forward, you know? So I know he's having a difficult time. And then Jake, basically, you don't know it, but there's a concrete block right there you step on. Jake just kind of dove in, when that happened. Now, did that come out of me being a pastor and years of experience? Not really. It's just, that's what I heard. It's a life with the spirit versus a life with the flesh. you learn to respond with those spiritual 911s. So what's the remedy of the battle between the flesh and the spirit? Live according to the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. And then we talked about the eyes, the lust of the eyes. You go, what's the remedy of that? Because all of marketing is to catch our eyes. You even know the coloring of tablecloth at Pizza Hut is designed so that you'll eat more pizza, right? It is. It's the color and a design for you to eat more pizza. Your eyes pick up on that. So the remedy for the lust of our eyes is contentment and a covenant that we make with our eyes. When we make a covenant with our eyes as a husband and a father, I'm number one, blessing the Lord. Number two, I'm blessing my wife. Number three, I'm blessing my children. Number four, as I lead you, it would be a blessing to you. So we make a covenant with our eyes. Then we handled pride. I don't think I have to tell you what pride is, but what's the remedy? And the remedy is being generous. Generosity and being content with what you have. So today we get to verse 17. And it is about the world passing away, and it is about the person who does the will of God remains forever. It's really, verse 17 is a verse about two different lives. Two different lives. So we're going to be dealing in twos today. Let's begin with the world that is passing away. We just talked about that the world defined by John here is Satan's system. We refer to as darkness. I don't know if you understand this, but people have prayer centers all over the world, and they have these world maps on the wall, and it's called the spiritual mapping. And so they will find what areas have more human trafficking than anywhere else, and they'll put pins on them all over the world. And then they'll pray against human trafficking. Or what areas are known for drugs? And obviously through the news, we know where a lot of those are. We probably don't have to guess. But they'll pin them on the maps, and then they'll pray about those situations. Any area of darkness that they can find in the world, it's called spiritual mapping, and they'll put it together, and then people will start praying against the darkness in that area. Let me give you an example of a Gideon family friend of ours, and they were having trouble. Their church was on a corner of two streets. And they were having trouble with over the weekends on Fridays and Saturday nights, and sometimes even Sunday nights after they would not be on campus, and of drug dealing and prostitution. And so they're calling and they're telling the police about it. Well, you know, it helps for a little while, and then it all comes back, and it just continued to happen over and over and over. And I don't know what you know about Gideons who hand out the Bibles or place the Bibles in hotels and motels and hospitals and give it to fifth graders at school or whatever, but they're the prayingest bunch of people I've ever been around in my life. I mean, they'll pray about everything, you know, and I mean, some things you and I are like, why you need to pray about that? Well, Gideons will pray about it. And so they didn't know how to combat that darkness that was meeting on the corner of their church. And so one of the local Gideons said, well, we'll just start praying. And they prayed, and he asked the Lord to place his angels there, and he asked the Lord to bring the Holy Spirit there. And and they just kept praying that. And he goes, little by little, week after week, the crowd of darkness has started dwindling away. And don't leave them hanging in this. They went to try to minister to that group. And they also did, even when they met there. But they did spiritual mapping. So the Satan system or darkness is talking about it here. The world and its lust is passing away. But there's also another context with the word world here, and it does talk about our planet. When John's talking about darkness is going to pass away, he's also in a reference to the teaching of Scripture that our world is one day going to pass away. Once you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 for just a moment, we're going to look at darkness. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, John wrote, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. I know some of you, and we're looking here and we're going, well, the world is getting worse. Well, read history. There's some really tough times in history. You know, some really tough times. And there are people going through some really, really tough times as we speak in this world. But I just want you to know, I believe in what Scripture says. I believe that darkness is passing away. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is going to absolutely go through everything and go through it successfully. I don't think the Church of our Lord can be stopped. That's why I tell you in two things, be in a relationship with Jesus and be in a fellowship with His church, because there will not be a king, a nation, an army, or even hell itself that will be able to destroy the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the true light is already shining. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 for just a moment. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now this is the message we have heard from Him and declared to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. And we know that He is already a victorious king. He's not going to be victorious. He's already victorious. Remember during Lent, we don't work for victory. We work from victory. All right? We don't do what we do so that we'll be victorious. We're already victorious. He's already victorious. Some people will say He's going to come back as king. I said, you're right, but He's already king. His coming back doesn't make Him king. He's already king. So we get to the point that, first of all, what's passing away? Darkness is literally passing away. Second, in context, is this planet. Here's the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 29. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, it says, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the celestial powers will be shaken. Verse 30, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds, which reminds me of a song I grew up with, of heaven with power and with great glory. And then verse 31, it says, he will send out His angels with a loud trumpet. They will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Verse 32, it says, now learn this from this parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. Verse 33, in the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near and He is at the door. And verse 34, I assure you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away. See, there is, you see that. We're not just talking about Satan and darkness will pass away now. It's heaven and earth will pass away too. But My words will never pass away. Verse 36, now concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. So please watch out of anybody that tells you when it's going to happen, okay? They know it's going to, they just don't know when. Except the Father is the only one who knows that. And that comes together with Acts chapter 1, where it says only the Father has the authority for those things. So I wanted you to see, not only is Satan and darkness passing away, but even our world will one day pass away. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter takes up this in his preaching and writing. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and on that day the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. A couple of things, when we were in college and Julie and I were dating, and Julie, I think, was salutatorian of her class in high school, and sharp, you know, Julie's, so our kids, the smart gene comes from their mama. So I took two classes in college to impress Julie. One was music appreciation because she's a classically trained vocalist. So I thought, well, I'll take, and I did great. I could pick out the oboe and Peter and the Wolf, if you all have ever, you had to listen to Peter and the Wolf and describe all the instruments that you heard. And so, man, I nailed the oboe. I just want you to know that, okay? Got that down. So the other class that I took was geology. And I actually loved that class, but I wanted to take something in the sciences and in that area, the science building. So I took it as an elective, and I remember them talking about suns burning out. And when a sun will burn out, like our sun will one day burn out. And when it does, all the helium and the oxygen and the carbon and the hydrogen, all of it that's in our atmosphere, it's like stoking a fire with wood. It'll just vacuum that into the sun, and it'll reach a high level of intensity. And in getting that high level of intensity, it will absolutely annihilate everything in its path. So I raised my hand. I knew about this verse. I also knew about the verse that I just read from you in Matthew. And I asked Dr. Jeffries, he was a good friend of ours. I asked him, can this match scripture? And he goes, oh, absolutely. He said, absolutely. Of course, it's a Christian school. You know, what else is he gonna say? But he did believe that, that it would happen. And it just matches it that one day, this is all going to be annihilated. Not only is Satan and his system of darkness passing away, but even this earth is passing away. Both darkness and the planet have a death sentence on it. So it's one more reason not to love it. It's just another reason not to love this world. Isaiah brings out that the former things of this earth, you will remember no more. I mean, when you get to heaven, are you really going to compare heaven to the Grand Canyon? I mean, you're going to go, hey, man, you know, my favorite place was Chimney Rock and Smoky Mountains. Why am I doing in heaven? One man made a statement. He didn't want to go to heaven because he hadn't been to Hawaii yet. And I'm going, why do you compare heaven to Hawaii? You know, the picture that we get here is that it's one more reason not to love this world or even Satan's kingdom is because it is all passing away. Listen to this. One day all systems will be gone. All of them will be gone. The only to remain is the kingdom of God. All systems will pass away except the kingdom of God. So we're dealing now, we're talking about a person who loves the world, but he wants to remind you that the lust, the world and all of its lust will be passing away. So now let's talk about the one who will remain, and that's the one who does the will of God. When we're talking about the will of God here, John's writing, he basically says, don't be a part of the three that he's mentioned earlier. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Remember, John groups all these together to describe the problems of the world and the sin of the world. He just groups them in lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And I believe that he can. We're going to put on the screen two columns to help you out with a little bit, to catch us up with what can happen. There we go. Of what we've handled in the first. Obviously, the one on the left is going to be the people who are living the will of God. And the one on the right are people who are going to be to the world. So we got two lives here. One who loves the Father, and then we've got a life of one who loves the world. If you're loving the Father, you're going to be dealing with eternity. If you love the world, you're going to be dealing with just time. And that time will be no longer. It's going to pass away. If you're living in loving the Father, you have the joy of the Spirit. Remember, we dealt with the flesh and the Spirit. If you're loving the world, it says pressure, but it's the pleasure. It's the pleasure of the flesh. There's going to be the pleasure of the flesh. So we're dealing with joy and we're dealing with pleasure. If you're loving the Father, you're going to be living in the unseen. Just like with Jake's baptism, that didn't come out of experience. There was an unseen world that told me to tell him, just put your face forward. Just live by the Spirit of God. And I know that's a real simple thing there, but nonetheless, it doesn't make it any less true. We learn to live in the unseen. If you love the world, you're living in what you can see only. If you're loving the Father, you're doing the will of God. If you're loving the world, it's the pride of life and you're searching for the approval of man. If you love the Father, then you're going to remain forever. If you love the world, then you're passing away. So it becomes a picture of two different lives. Remember, it says in this verse, in verse 17, the world and its lust are passing away. So what's the remedy? I've been giving you the remedy when it talks about the lust of the flesh, and that is live a life of the Spirit. When it talks about the lust of the eyes, the remedy is contentment and covenant with your eyes. When it comes to the pride of life, the remedy is generosity and even contentment in what you have. But when it comes to the world and its lust are passing away, what's the remedy? Look at 1 Corinthians 7:31 for just a moment. And those who use the world as though they did not make it full use of it, for this world in its current form is absolutely passing away. I just wanted to reiterate, is passing away. But look at 2 Corinthians 4:11 through 18 for just a moment. We're going to walk through these verses, and they're hugely important. I think all scripture is, but really to where we are and what we're handling. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. And leave it right there, verse 11. I just want you to see, how do we overcome the lust of the flesh? By taking on the death and the life of Christ, which is being led by the Spirit. Verse 12. And so death works in us, but life in you. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. Verse 14, stay right there. Go back to 14 if you will. The power of the resurrection is still living in us. The power that raised him from the dead is still very active today. It saves us. It sustains us. Whatever you're going through, that power of the resurrection is going to lead you through one step at a time. I know you want the giant leaps, but just take the steps. That it is present with you too. Verse 15. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to God's glory. Verse 16, therefore we do not give up. And hang on, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Now keep that right there, verse 16, for just a moment. If you were a part of our Wednesday night study that we had earlier in the spring semester, we were dealing with seeing the unseen. And one of the things we handled was the word called entropy. Entropy is a law of thermodynamics. Gets into the realm of physics and just actually being. But the entropy means this, that everything physical is deteriorating. Everything. Sometimes I'm thinking about that when I get on a plane. Going, what part of this is deteriorating? Well, everything is breaking down. Everything. Just even this building. We've been out here since 2006 or seven, been out here a long time, and we use it every day but Saturday in some capacity, sometimes twice a day. And it just starts breaking down. Your house starts breaking down. It just goes on and on. And then our bodies start breaking down. And I know there can be a little gentle amen throughout the congregation this morning when it comes to that. Everything that's physical is deteriorating or breaking down in some capacity. So it even says that here. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, everything physical is breaking down. Everything. But here's the part that we handled in our study on the seeing the unseen. Everything spiritual is ascending. Okay? Everything spiritual is either moving forward or upward. Paul says, I don't look at the things of the past. I look toward the prize and the mark, and I press for that, and the mark of the call, of the high calling of God. We're going forward. Set your eyes on things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. So when you read scripture, you're going to see everything physical is deteriorating or breaking down. Everything spiritual is either moving forward or upward. Okay? All the time. It's right here in this verse. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. It's happening. There's a growing and a momentum that's going on. Verse 17, for our momentary light affliction, whatever you're going through, according to Paul, is a light affliction. No matter how great it may be rated on this earth, to him it's still a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that he gives you. So even here, what affliction you may be going through or tough time or suffering in your life is considered light compared to everything that he has for you in glory. It's not even a match. Verse 18. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is absolutely eternal. Do you see that? The physical is breaking down and deteriorating. The spiritual is ascending. It is upward and forward. The cross and the resurrection bring that. We handled that in those verses right there. It's not only what raised Jesus up. We celebrate that. It's what raises you up too. Don't ever forget that. So we rejoice. Rejoice. You're going, preacher? The world's gone crazy. It's always been crazy. It's always been crazy. And you know what? He has appointed us, me and you, for such a time as this. To handle this crazy, confused, chaotic world. He has appointed us to be able to do it. He'll give you the power to do it. Let me give you this verse to cheer you up. John 16:33, our Lord speaking, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but cheer up, be courageous. I have conquered or overcome the world. Because he's going to remain forever. The world and its lust is going to be passing away. I leave you with this one, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I use this one a lot in my own personal life. You're from God, little children. You have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So guys, listen, we're on the offensive. We're not on the defensive, okay? The gates of hell are on the defensive because the church is coming. It says the gates of hell not prevail. It's not hell's coming after us, it's we're coming after hell. Where are we moving? Forward and upward. Where's the world moving? It's all breaking down and deteriorating. We have already won, so act like it. We've already won, so talk like it. You hear me? Don't talk in a defeated tone or voice. One day he's coming back as king. No, he's not. He's already king. Wherever he goes, he's king. and live like that, talk like that, share like that. You know, I can give you data that the church is diminishing. It is in data, but it will not be destroyed. So we absolutely move in that category. Let's live from victory, not for victory. And we do this. So the world and all of its lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of one's lifestyle, it is absolutely passing away. It's another reason for you to not love this world, but to love the Father. As we move into invitation, we're going to be taking communion together. The team will be leading us as you come. We're taking it in the altar. You can get the bread and the cup and take it back to your seat. Take it. You can take it while you're up here. You do whatever you want to. We won't be taking this simultaneously together. It's just you on your own. But I before we get into the communion part of it, we're a strong day of remembrance. Today, this weekend. It's good to have a day off, be together with family, all that. But today, we want to remember the freedom we have even as a nation to preach the gospel. And I don't take that lightly. But the freedoms we have. We want to remember those who served and died for that. My family and yours. We want to remember our family who've gone on to be with the Lord. We want to remember them today. And then we want to remember those that God has given us that are not biological family, but they're the part of the family of God that God has given us to help us get through, to walk through, to mature in our faith, the truth tellers of our life. We want to be able to remember them too. So let's take a moment and let's just be grateful and thankful. We're going to pray again here in a moment about the freedom we have in Christ. Ultimately, his death is over any death that has happened. But let's remember folk, family, friends, truth tellers. Let's remember them. Will you do that right now? And would you give thanks for them to our Heavenly Father? Thank you for the people he's put in your life, your family. Our freedom, and how we can use this freedom to tell the world, to share the gospel, the truth that those who do the will of God will remain forever. And then let's give thanks for our Lord, his body given to us, tortured for us. We give thanks for his body. We give thanks for his blood shed. Without the shedding of blood and the plan of God, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. He takes sin, he doesn't take it lightly, he takes it seriously. And there has to be a penalty for it. And our Lord took that for us. He took on the wrath of God for us, and he knew the wrath of God. And we thank him for his body given, and we thank him for his blood shed, and we thank him for the freedom that we have in him, no matter what country we live in. Those who are in Christ are free. And Lord, we thank you for your cross. But then we also thank you for your resurrection. But we remember your death today and the salvation that it brought all of us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Would you come to the table? It's not my table, it's his. And would you receive today? Remember the sacrifice of our Lord. You come.